Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be learning about the history of one of the oldest churches in our community, Nicholasville Baptist Church, that sits on Main Street. We'll do that with longtime member Winnie Yunker right after this word from one of our great sponsors here at Jess FM.
There's nothing inconvenient about someone writing you a check to say thank you, congratulations, or happy birthday, except that you'll probably hold that check for about a week until you find time to put it in the bank. Thanks to Citizens National Bank in Nicholasville, their new mobile deposit feature allows you to simply log into their mobile banking app, take a picture of your check, and have it deposited into your account. You never have to find time to drive to the bank, which gives you more time to spend your extra money. Citizens National Bank is conveniently located in the Keene Center in Nicholasville. Citizens National Bank, moving forward together. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things of our county. Today we're going to learn about a building that has been in this community for quite some time, and it's not only served as a church, it's served as other things too, and we'll tell you about that in just a moment. Winnie Yunker, good morning.
Hello, Doug.
I have with us today, folks, one of a member of that church. And I guess you'll tell us how long you've been a member.
Well, I was 12.
Yeah.
And that was, 1946.
Your family's gone there for quite a while.
Yes.
Before I get into the church, tell us who your family was. And tell our listeners who your mom and dad, your siblings.
My father, Winfield Leonard Maston, he was firefighter here. Mm-hmm. He drove the fire truck. He worked the night shift 7 days a week, Doug, no days off. And when there was a fire, somebody would call and tell him, and he would sound the alarm, which Nicholasville was 1 mile square. You could hear it.
Right.
And he would drive the fire truck, and the volunteer firemen would meet him.
Meet him there.
Wherever they heard the siren.
Would he drive the truck from his home?
No, it was on Oak Street.
Next to the funeral home where that building is.
Yeah, everything.
The old city hall.
Everything was there. The jail.
Yeah. Police station, everything.
Everything. They serviced the police cars there.
Yeah.
The city judge, Judge Brumfield.
Right.
Everything was there.
All in that building.
And he worked there all night long. And if there were prisoners, he took care of them.
Really?
Yeah. Now, my mother, Ruby Glass Maston, she always volunteered. They had a clothing room at Nicholasville Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. She lived on East Oak Street, and whenever anybody needed clothes, she would walk down there, what was about 4 blocks,
right,
and let them have clothes. Then, of course, there were 6 girls.
Yeah, that I don't know whether, first off, your mom is a saint, raised 6 children of any sex, but 6 girls, boy, no wonder your daddy work every day. I got 2, and that's all I can handle.
My father's aim in life was to have a house with 2 bathrooms, and he never got it.
Well, I can see why.
Because with 7 women in the house, he did it.
6 girls. Okay, name them for me if you don't mind.
Okay, Alexine, she was born 1921.
Is she the oldest?
97 now.
She's still going at 97.
She is.
Now, first off, out of the 6, how many are still living?
4 of us.
4, okay. So you got Alexine's the first one.
Yeah, and then Sarah came along in 1923, and then Betty Lee, 1927.
Now, is Sarah still living?
No,
okay,
she's not.
But Betty Lee is.
Betty Lee is 91 now.
And a lot of people, some of our older people may remember she wrote for the Herald.
And, for the Herald Leader over 50 years.
Yeah. So the Society column, is that?
No, she wrote about people's homes.
Oh, okay.
Houses.
Oh,
she liked to do old houses, historic ones that people were making homes in.
She was up there with long time, another Jessamine County person, long time Bob Fain, I guess.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Bob Fain. And he's still going strong.
Yes, they are.
He grows great tomatoes and brings them to us.
All right. So, see, she was the third.
She was the third, Betty Lee. And then the twins came in 1930. That's Juanita and Anita. And Anita's no longer with us. But Juanita lives in Cincinnati. She's 88. And then the favorite.
The baby.
That's me.
Wow.
So I'm 84.
Yeah. And 3 of you I guess, are still here in Nicholasville, aren't you?
Three of us in Nicholasville, yeah. And then my sister Juanita in Cincinnati. So
you said you were 12 when they started attending Nicholasville Baptist, is that
no,
right?
No, I was 12 when I joined the church.
Oh, when you joined? Did the family always
you
go
know,
there?
Doug, I was actually born in Nicholasville. The other girls were not.
Okay.
But I'm actually a true native. Okay. I was born on Oak Street in Nicholasville, in the house, in the home.
So when you say they weren't, did they move here from somewhere?
From Lexington.
Okay.
Yeah, my daddy was offered a job at Keller Motor Company.
Mm-hmm. Which is
on
now
Main Street.
Where CVS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was an excellent mechanic. So they moved to Nicholasville.
Okay.
And I think they were here about a year before I was born, mm-hmm. so maybe moved here in 1933.
Okay.
But the house where I was born, it's still there on Oak Street.
Mm-hmm. Now, give me some guidance which house that is.
Okay, it's you know, there's CVS and then like the business and then the cleaners.
Okay, and you're talking about East Oak, not
East
West.
Oak, East Oak, going east.
Right.
And then there's two houses, and then there's one house, two-story,
okay.
And it's got a little low roof over the first floor.
If you're going away from Maine, east.
It's on the left.
It's on the left. I know exactly where you're talking.
And the reason I call attention to that little roof that's over the porch mm-hmm. is because when I was just a baby, my twin sisters, who were four, mm-hmm. took me out the window of that, over that porch, took me out on the porch. And now Juanita says it was all Anita's idea. I don't know. But my mother was in the backyard, maybe hanging out clothes or something. And she started back the house and saw the twins up there holding me, a baby, on that roof. So luckily she got back
Juanita
to the house.
Juanita didn't have anything to do with it, did she?
Luckily, she got back to the house in time to drag me back inside.
That's funny.
And I'm sure they got punished.
I'd say so. But the whole family has been members of this church for,
yeah.
I guess, since they
came
here.
We always went there. And Brother Stallings, mm-hmm. and do you remember that name?
I remember the name.
Well, he was there in the 40s, mm-hmm. so he's the one who was pastor when I joined the church. And he was there until 1948. So then we got two more pastors who stayed short times. Mm-hmm. And then Brother Craig.
That's the one I know. In fact, I personally, is he still living? He is.
No, he's not. No, he's been gone about 15 years.
He was a motorcycle rider.
He had a motorcycle, yeah. And when we would have Bible school, mm-hmm. he'd bring that motorcycle and let the kids sit on it and have their pictures made.
I actually knew. He was one of the pastors that married my parents. My mom, of course, went to Nixville Baptist, so she had Brother Craig. My dad at that time was a member of the Christian Church, so dubbed Brother Arvin.
Yes.
They officiated together, and then after they married, Daddy joined the Baptist Church. But I knew Brother Craig from that and had talked to him and met him a couple of times. Let's try to go back to the start then, because eventually we'll get to these pastors and maybe who some of them were. At what point in time did this church form?
Well, it was 1849.
Oh, wow.
And there were three men. One of them was a preacher mm-hmm. who met February 10th on that corner of Chestnut, which was then called Free Row, mm-hmm. and Main.
Where it sits
south
right now.
Right.
Okay.
That lot had been given mm-hmm. to them mm-hmm. to build a church on. So that was 1849. And I don't know why, but it wasn't until 1852 mm-hmm. when they were able to build the church.
Back then, Winnie, if you know, was, because I've heard other people say this, most places, you said that lot was given to them.
Yes.
Now, that's kind of the way they did it back then, wasn't it? Somebody owned the lot or something and said, you can, in fact, we had Father Bush on one time on our show about the Catholic Church. And he was telling us that back when that was built, there was a Methodist minister who owned a lot and gave it to him to build the Catholic Church on. That was kind of the normal thing for somebody to give you a lot to kind of get going.
Well, Doug, it was the same man.
Oh, it was.
Who gave the lot to the Catholic Church and to the Baptist Church.
And the Baptist Church.
And also, next to the old jail, there was another church where the convenience store
yes.
is now.
Yeah.
There was a church that he gave the lot for that church.
Oh, really?
So this man did that for three
I
different
countries. I never knew there was a church that sat there. That would have been years ago, I guess.
Well, when I was coming up, when I was a young girl, it had been turned into an apartment building.
Oh, okay.
And one of my friends in high school had an apartment there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then eventually it was torn down, the apartment house,
yeah.
to build that
convenience store.
Yeah.
I guess that's the first thing I remember. So we've got the Baptist Church. Well, we've got the organization that has been given the lot, 1849. And you said in 52, what occurred?
It took them 3 years to build the church. But they had to make the bricks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they made them right there on the site.
Really? The bricks that are on it right now?
Mm-hmm. And it's 40-foot by 60-foot
mm-hmm.
Building.
The original building.
Yes, the original building.
Now, one thing that a lot of people may not realize, and I guess the only reason I know it is because of pictures I've seen, is there has been, I guess, two additions to that church, maybe two wings, is that right?
Yes.
But the front of it does not look today what it looked like in 1957 when my parents were married. And I'm talking about when the auditorium or the sanctuary was expanded. There used to be those massive columns right there on the front.
They're still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, here I go jumping ahead to Bill Craig.
That's okay.
But when he was there, mm-hmm. the congregation got so large that we had to have two services mm-hmm. on Sunday morning. And it became necessary to enclose that front
okay.
porch,
okay.
which was under those four columns.
But those are still the original columns.
Yes, they are.
They're there today.
They're still there.
Okay.
Also, when the church was built, there was a balcony,
mm-hmm.
and it was for the black people.
Oh.
And at one point, the black people in the balcony outnumbered the people downstairs.
Yeah.
And that's when they left and formed First Baptist Church on mm-hmm. York Street.
Yes, yes.
So,
yeah, just two, well, a block away. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
right.
What about?
So, at first, when Brother Craig began attracting so many
mm-hmm.
Congregation, he was a humorist.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an example, he and his wife once went to the Southern Baptist Convention, which was in California that year, on his motorcycle. And they rode all the way out there. And he told us when he got back, he said his seat got sore. I'm sure his wife's did too.
Yeah.
But anyway, he went in a drugstore to get some talcum powder.
Mm-hmm.
And the clerk asked him what he needed, and he said, talcum powder. And she said, walk this way. And he said, if I could walk that way, I wouldn't need it. So he would put things like that in his sermons. But people, the congregation got back to him, like when they got back from that trip, some of the members had hidden the alarm clocks all over their house,
mm-hmm.
set at different times mm-hmm. to go off. So the first night they were back, of course, they were worn out from
sure.
riding the motorcycle.
Sure.
How long would it take from California?
Oh, I don't have any idea.
A week or two?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, the alarm clocks went off all night
Kept
long.
Them up all night long.
So he got back what he gave out.
1849, and the church comes about. When it was first opened, was it known as Nicholasville Baptist Church?
No, it wasn't. It was, let me think what it was. I'm sorry.
That's fine. There's a lot of history there to remember.
Yeah, it had a long name, like the Church of something or another.
Yeah.
But one of the first deacons was Jonathan Baker. His descendants are still going on.
And the road, Baker's Lane.
Baker's
That's
Lane,
right
yes.
by Bluegrass Energy, folks. It turns right there by McLean.
Right. They owned all those mm-hmm. farms back there.
And the big home.
And the big home.
I guess now, Rosewood, is that what they call Ray Clark and,
yeah,
and his wife,
Ray
Sue
Clark
Lane.
And his wife.
Yeah.
And when the last of the Bakers died,
mm-hmm.
She left all that land to the church.
Oh, okay.
And I think that was in like the 1970s,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So then we used it a while to grow tobacco on.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually we sold it and helped to build Edgewood. And also, speaking of people given land, Hayden Lane, gave a lot in Poortown Hall to build a Baptist church there. And he built the church. And when he was asked how much did the church owe him, he gave him a bill and it had marked paid in full.
Yeah.
So people have been very generous to the churches here.
A little history here on Hayden Lane. We'll tell people a little bit about him so that they can connect it to today. If you go out across from the Jessamine Board of Education, there's an insurance agency in the building that he built and opened up, Lane's Drive-In, which later became George's Drive-In.
Yeah.
And of course, Hayden Lane also had the what was known as Rose Terrace Nursing Home down on 2nd Street as well. But that's the Hayden Lane she's talking about, who gave this land.
And Frances Lane, Hayden's wife, she lived to be 98, and she graduated from Old Nicholsville High School with my sister Alexine's husband, John Cox, in, I don't know when, 19, when it was, a long time ago. But Frances, she was a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
And she was up at Royal Manor Nursing Home the last year of her life.
Yeah.
And I went by to see her one day. It was noon. She was having her hair done. Ruth Overstreet was there fixing her hair. She looked so pretty, and I talked to her, and she was just like she always was. That night, she died in her sleep.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was peaceful. And Frances could make, she'd make wonderful fried apple pies.
Oh, yeah.
And she would call me, and she'd say, Winnie, I've got pies, I'd go by.
She was a very nice lady.
She was.
Yeah. All right, so I want to come up a little bit further out of the 1850 era to around 1865 or so, because something happened in our nation which had a tremendous impact on Nicholasville Baptist Church.
Tell us
about that.
Okay, when the war between the states started, the Union Army, which had a place at Camp Nelson, immediately confiscated the church.
And they could do that.
They could.
Their house, whatever they wanted, they could walk in and say, it's ours.
They wanted it for a hospital.
Yeah.
So all the pews were taken out, and the floor was, well, they had fires in it to keep the soldiers warm.
Yeah.
And the whole sanctuary, that 40 by 60 foot, was a hospital. Then, after they no longer needed it for a hospital, they used it to store grain for their horses. I guess they had a cavalry at Camp Nelson. So, after they were finished, which was 1865, they said we could have the church back. I say we, I wasn't the,
right.
back
the
there.
The congregation,
but,
sure.
But, and they also said they would pay the church for the use of it those 4 years.
Yeah.
So way up till the 20th century, the church tried to collect the bill for those 4 years.
Never did. Wow.
So we sent records over and over to the Washington, D.C., but
never
got paid.
It.
But we did get the church back and restored it.
And for history's sake, and of course, we living in today's world can appreciate this, although I'm sure the people back then would rather have the money. But to just know that when you walk into that building, you are literally walking into Civil War history.
That's true.
You are walking on ground where soldiers lived and soldiers died and was a significant part of the Civil War. And I don't know, do you know of any other churches in this area that that happened? Was it?
I'm not sure about the Christian church up at 2nd and Maple, not the building that there now,
right.
But the original one,
yeah.
I think maybe it was used because they took what they needed, like you said.
Right.
But the floors were in bad shape, so they had to be replaced.
Yes.
And it was given back to us, and we proceeded.
And went right on and been going ever since. All right. Bring us up kind of to somewhat modern day. When I say that, I'm talking about the area around Bill Craig. And maybe even a little before that. Give us some of those ministers that you remember that you, of course, Bill Craig, I'm sure, stands out.
Well, the one that I told you, Brother Stallings, who was minister there when I was coming along, he was very interested in education, especially for girls to help, because a lot of girls didn't think about college.
Right.
And my sister, Betty Lee, he encouraged her to go to UK when she got out of high school. She graduated in 1944, and right before the war, the World War II ended. And he just had always encouraged her. So she went, got her degree in journalism, and then was able to work at the Herald Leader those 50-plus years. Wow. One time I remember, he was really, really nice person. But one time I was sitting on the front row, and for some reason I got interested in how many Christmas songs were in the hymn book. And I just started rapidly turning the pages to see, count them, how many there were. And all of a sudden, he just snapped his fingers at me, went right on with his sermon.
Oh, you were in a service.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he didn't say anything. He just snapped it one time.
And I jerked, and I quit turning those pages.
You know, it reminds me, Wendy, back, and you'll appreciate this because it kind of ties into there. Back then, in those days, especially in church, it wasn't just mom and daddy that had their eyes on you as a kid. Everybody watched you.
Oh, yeah.
My mother used to sing in the choir. And boy, you couldn't get away with anything because her and about five other of the moms of us guys were sitting right up there looking at us. And I'm telling you, it didn't bother any one of them a bit to come out of that choir loft and come down and sit down right there by us. And we knew we better shape up. And it's kind of the same way with Reverend Stallings. He didn't have to do much, did he?
But no.
He got your attention.
He got my attention. Speaking of the choir, we had a wonderful singer, Betsy Simpson. The Simpson Farm was right beyond where Georgie's drive-in and the Lane drive-in was, and there on the left. She had a wonderful voice. Mm-hmm. She would always sing a solo, and she later went to New York to sing opera.
Really?
And I remember her. We always had good choirs.
Yeah.
Now, we girls, Alexine could sing some and wanted, but the rest, the that other four of us, yeah. just... Nothing.
You just sit and looked at the hymnals.
We just kept our mouths shut. But I appreciate music. My mother could sing. She would sing Barbary Allen to us, and I loved that old song. So I always appreciated music. Miss Hervey.
Oh, gosh.
Her husband was the dentist. She always played the piano and the organ, and she was there for years. And let me mention the Robinsons, too. Mr. Robinson was mayor here for years.
T.C.?
T.C. Robinson.
Yes.
And Mrs. Robinson, she was sweet, sweet, sweet person. Mm-hmm. She even had a sweet face. They lived in that big white house right behind the courthouse, across from the Christian church, and just had three daughters, and they were just wonderful in the life of Nicholasville and the life of the church. Ms. Robinson's father, George Lyne, L-Y-N-E, he owned a lot of property in Nicholasville. And I remember when my dad was working at Keller Motors, he got gassed one day working on a car. And he had to go to Outwood Veterans Hospital, which is in Dawson Springs, far, far western Kentucky. So here my mom's here with us six girls and no income. So Mr. Lyne came by one day and he told her, he said, Miss Maston, while Winfield's at Dawson Springs, you don't have to pay rent, which I think was like $30 a month. And so Daddy was there, I think, about 6 months. But after about 4 months, Mr. Lyne came back one day, and he told my mom, he said, you need to start paying rent. And she said, well, Mr. Lyne, he said, as long as Winfield was in the hospital, we didn't. His favorite expression was, I guinea. He said, I guinea, I didn't know it would last this long. But people were really kind.
Would he have been the same Lyne that Lyne School up on?
You know, probably so.
There at the corner of Baker's Lyne.
Yeah, probably so.
Lyne School, which that building still stands.
It's still there by the railroad tracks.
You mentioned that Reverend Stallings was there, and you said a couple of others, but then you said Bill Craig came in.
Yes.
Did Bill leave for another church?
He did. Mm-hmm. He was there, I don't know, maybe 12, 14 years, but he felt the call. You know, they say ministers always say they feel the call to go to a better paying job. He felt the call to a mission in Louisville.
Okay.
That was on 3rd Street downtown, very bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
And his wife, Doris, she told Alex, and she asked him, Bill, are you sure? Anyway, they left to go to that mission. But he came back.
Oh, yeah?
Years later, after he had retired, and we needed an interim.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the 90s, I guess. And I remember the first Sunday he preached, and it was a great sermon. But the next Sunday, the snow was so bad that we canceled the service. Mm-hmm. So I told him, I said, you know, everybody thought you were good, but apparently not, because they closed the church after that. So, but then after him, we had a minister. His name was Earl Homan.
Now, that's who I remember the best.
And his wife, Margaret, also had a beautiful voice.
Did. In fact, she taught music at the high school, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah, I think so. She was a music teacher there. Now, that's the minister that was there when we were members there with my grandparents, the Roars, of course.
He was there for some years until we built Edgewood Baptist Church.
Yes.
And so he left after that. But he and Henry Thompson, now here's another gift, Henry and Cleveland Thompson, who owned the Food Town,
right?
They gave the land for Edgewood Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, it's like a tradition here in Nicholsville.
Yeah. Who would have come in, or some of the people that you want to mention that would have come in after Earl?
Okay, Tom Miller.
Yeah, he was there a long time.
He was there years and years. And then, of course, when he left, it was to start Brookside Baptist Church, which is still going
here. You know, there's been a few churches come out of Nicholsville, haven't there?
Yeah, and that's really, you know, you're supposed to do that.
Right.
When you get crowded,
that's good
to do.
Right.
Start one someplace else. And then, of course, everybody was driving when Edgewood was built.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't want to come downtown on Main Street and look for a parking place. They wanted one out in the suburb.
How's Nicholsville as far as crowds today, as far as your it's kind of smaller?
Well, no, it's just that I'm not involved there anymore.
Oh, okay.
So now Alexine still goes.
Yeah.
And her daughter told me last Sunday, she took Alexine to church.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not you just get up and throw on some clothes and go. Because when you're 97 years old, it takes some doing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got there, there had been a transformer problem, and the electricity was off in the sanctuary, and they were going to meet in the fellowship hall, which happened to be down a bunch of steps.
Right.
So Patty was not able to take Alexine down those steps. She said, well, we got to go home. Speaking of the fellowship hall, it used to be in the basement, which was really, really steep stairs for years and years and years. But then we decided to use some Sunday school rooms and make one which is accessible to the handicapped from First Street.
Right.
And it's really nice, really a nice area.
It would be hard to figure up how many people in this community have gone to Nicholsville Baptist Church since 1849.
1849. I think practically all the Baptists in town.
I'm sure they have. If nothing else, have a link, of course, to somebody that does. Because, as you said, when it started, it even started the First Baptists. In that community, and Brookside and Edgewood, and there's so many connections to this particular church, which is still going on Main Street across from what I still call the Walker Hotel, and of course across the street on the other corner was Heathman's Grocery. Yeah,
and Edgar Heathman was a great member there, and Miss Heathman played the piano.
I'll tell you another person that I thought about, and I meant to say this earlier when you mentioned Miss Hervey. Is Anna Steele Taylor?
Oh my goodness, yes.
I mean, when I think of Nicholsville Baptist. When I went there, there's two or three things I think of, because I was there as a young boy. I was born in 62. We went to Edgewood when it opened in 70. So I was only there, young child. But I remember Miss Anna Steele, one of the sweetest women that ever
was. She was, yes.
I remember during Vacation Bible School, on the last day, we got to walk down to Ward's Bakery and get orange sherbet. Isn't it funny how you remember stuff?
Because
like that?
They had that window that opened on the street, and
That's
you didn't
right.
even have to go inside.
It was so good. And the other thing that I am so exactly proud of, I still have on our Christmas tree a little manger ornament that I got at Vacation Bible School at Nixville Baptist Church, and that would have been in the 60s.
What's it like?
It's I don't know, about an inch tall or inch and a half, and it's a little plastic thing, got the little figurines in it, and I don't even remember who was my teacher, but I remember that's where I got it. Those are the things I remember about Nicholasville Baptist.
Well, speaking of Anna Steele, her mother, Sally Steele Taylor, is the reason that those two educational buildings we built on First Street are brick, because the original plan was to have them brick halfway up and then have some kind of, I don't know, finish that wasn't brick the rest of the way up. And Miss Sally Steele Taylor, who was older, but she was a force, she insisted that they be brick all the way, and she got her way. So that was like 1950?
Yeah.
So here we are, 70 years later, and those buildings are still leak-proof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, it was stucco or something they wanted to put on, but they're still brick.
A lot of history in that building.
Well, and I don't want to, I mentioned all those women, but, you know, there were those wonderful bakers, the Baker Boys who kept going, and Mr. Robinson, and Mr. Lyon, and there were just a lot of good men and women.
They kept it going. Kept it going, yeah.
And speaking of the floors in that church, I told you they had to be rebuilt after the Yankees ruined them. In 2001, I shellacked those floors.
Oh, yeah?
And the pews were in place, so I crawled around on my, you know, stomach shellacking those because they were badly worn. And women used to wear steel-tipped high-heel shoes, and they had scarred them. So if the floors are shiny, it's because I did it.
Because you did it. Well, I tell you, the Maston family has put in a lot of time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears into that building and that congregation.
And, Doug, it's the only church building that's old and still occupied in Nicholasville.
Yeah.
There was one church in Jessamine County, one Baptist church before us, the one over near Keene.
Mount Pleasant
was the first Baptist church in Jessamine, but Nicholasville Baptist was the second.
Yeah, and still going. Well, I appreciate you coming in. It's gone quick, and I know we could probably talk another hour or two, but there's a lot of history in that building, and it's always nice to be able to talk to somebody who knows that history, and a lot of connections down there.
Well, I wish Alexine could have done it, because she has everything at the tips of her fingers.
Yeah, and not just about the church. She's a wealth of information about a lot of other things, too. Wish them and Bentley
thank you, Dave.
For me. And I appreciate you coming in, Winnie.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Winnie Younger for coming in this morning and sharing the history of the Nicholasville Baptist Church. I appreciate you coming in also. We'll do it again next Saturday morning at 11. Don't forget, I'm here every weekday morning from 6 until 8. Get you up and going on Jessamine County's own radio station, Jess FM 105.9.